So our theme, Slow Advent. And last week we talked about how discipleship is the Advent life. That discipleship, following Jesus, means an Advent life, a slowing down of life. Advent is about waiting to celebrate, but really waiting for Christ to return. But it is waiting empowered by the hope of what we wait for. We wait for Christ to return. We wait for him to come and bring us into the new life, the new world for eternity, where there will be no more sin or death or darkness or pain. And the hope of that thing that we are waiting for, that new life, that hope empowers us now in our waiting, in our Advent life, in our discipleship. Today we are slowing down for harmony. It's from Romans chapter 15. It's on page 7 in your bulletins. I actually slowed down enough this morning to write down the page number instead of asking you. It's on page 7 in the bulletin. We're going to slow down today to focus on verses 4 through 7. To really unpack them, to see what Paul means by living in harmony. Let's just hear them again. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. To slow down and focus on these verses means we have to begin by knowing the context, knowing what has Paul been saying up until this point, which, when you start looking at context, causes you to slow down even more. Sometimes we're tempted, just get to the point, right? Okay, I see these sentences, just tell me, quick, what's it mean? But we miss then the depth of what the scriptures bring to us. So the context, Paul in this letter, he's bringing his letter to a close to the Christians in Rome. And in chapter 14, he's been teaching them, now that you know this faith in Jesus Christ, here are ways that you apply it. Here are ways that you live it out. So Romans 14, you know, there's a section on do not pass judgment on one another. Meaning judgment on one another for the ways you live out your faith. He's not talking about, like, if somebody is sinning, that you shouldn't say anything. No, what he's talking about is the Roman Christians were disputing on how to really live out the faith. Was it okay to eat certain foods or not? And they were starting to judge one another, basically to say, we're more Christian than you are. And so Paul is throwing up a stop sign, and he is saying, do not pass judgment on one another for these things. But on the other hand, also do not cause one another to stumble. If somebody is troubled by something and feels like if they participate in something, it's going to lead them astray from the faith, then don't you go and force them to do that. And again, I'm not talking about things that are just clearly sinful in the scriptures. They were talking about food sacrificed to idols. And some said, we don't believe in idols, so it's no big deal. We can eat the food. And others would say, it hurts my conscience to eat that meat sacrificed to idols. And so Paul was saying, don't cause each other to stumble. And then we get to Romans 15. And just before our verses is verse 3. That's how it works. We started at verse 4 in our reading. Verse 3 comes right before it. I slowed down enough to know that. Verse 3 says this. We who have strong faith ought to shoulder the burden of the doubts and the qualms of others, and not just to go our own sweet way. Our actions should mean the good of others, should build them up. For even Christ did not choose just to take care of himself, but stepped in with us. And it quotes scripture, it says, "The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." Jesus steps into this with us. So Paul is saying, if he could step into us and receive insults and step in and live among us in this way, then we also ought to shoulder one another's doubts and qualms and build one another up. That's verse 3. And it connects up with verse 7. That you do have in your bulletin. It connects up with verse 7. I know, I'm skipping verses. But it connects up with verse 7 where it says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Paul's been saying, don't cause each other to stumble. Don't pass judgment on one another. Slow down so that you are able to build each other up. And then verse 7 kind of brings it all together again. Welcome one another. Christ welcomed you. Christ did not wait for you to get it all worked out and your act all together before he welcomed you. Christ welcomed you as you are. And so Paul is saying, welcome one another as you are. I think we could change verse 7 to say, therefore, slow down to welcome one another. Slow down. To welcome one another, you have to slow down. You can't just be on your own path. You have to slow down to welcome one another, to truly embrace other people, to really shoulder burdens with them. You have to slow down. And this all flows from what Paul's been teaching. But as you look at that verse 7 slowly and really consider it, check this out. Look at it again. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Here's a description I read. The most striking thing about this verse is the almost casual juxtaposition, the casual way of putting this together, of the glory of God with the exhortation to welcome one another. Those things are together. Paul's showing us that God's glory is nowhere so clearly shown as in the active work to bring about genuine community, where God's righteousness, mercy, and faithfulness continue to find expression. Where do you find God's glory? Yes, you find God's glory in the Word of God. You find God's glory in the sacraments. But Paul here is saying also that when you welcome one another, when you shoulder each other's burdens, when you lift one another up, when you build each other up in the faith, you are glorifying God. It brings God glory to slow down and welcome one another. And that's amazing. Any of you greet somebody today? You glorified God. If you slowed down enough on your way in, you know, didn't just elbow past the ushers or whatever. If you welcome somebody, you glorified. You glorified God in me. And even more so when we slow down to know each other and to build each other up, to pray for one another, that is to God's glory. But now somebody tell me that I slowed down, but I skipped some verses. Because verses 4, 5, and 6, they're kind of like a little bit of an aside, right? Paul's been working on, here's how to live. And verse 7 kind of brings it all to close. Just a nice way of just summarizing it. Welcome one another. Let's go back to verse 4. And here's the question. What's the power for bringing this community to life. This is all great and good, Paul. Sounds all nice to welcome one another and glorify God, but where's the power to do this? Because if I'm truthful and honest with myself, I don't have it in me to always be welcoming. I don't have it in me to always pause and consider the people around me. Paul, where's the power for this? Verse 4. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Or you could say, we might have hope to live according to Christ. And then notice verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement. He repeats endurance and encouragement. Where do we get endurance and encouragement? The scriptures. Where does that endurance and encouragement of the scriptures come from? God, the God of endurance and encouragement. How are we going to have the power to receive one another? The power of God. It's His endurance, His encouragement. So verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement slow you down to live in such harmony with one another. Grant you to live, I know it says grant you to live in harmony, but slow you down to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ. To slow you down so that harmony with one another, the idea is that we would have a shared attitude, a same attitude of Christian love toward one another. That we would see one another as Christ sees us. That God would give us endurance and encouragement in this. That we would see one another as He sees us. With the result, verse 6, with the result that together you may with one voice, oh, there it is again, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just so we can all be happy and lucky and go free and say we're really nice to each other. This all has a purpose, a greater purpose than that. The purpose is to glorify God. Our community, expressing God's mercy and forgiveness towards one another, it gives us hope. It points us to that Advent hope that we wait for, but it is all to God's glory. That's the result. God's glory is seen most clearly when the community abides with one another, lives with one another, sticks together, lives and is patient with one another. We got to slow down to patiently live with one another. It takes slowing down to demonstrate God's righteousness, mercy, and faithfulness. And in order to do this, we need the power of God. It is the power of God at work, giving us that endurance and encouragement. Now, just a reminder, the Roman Christians had differing opinions on how to practice their faith faithfully. And Paul was urging them to abide with one another. Yes, this one over here thinks it's okay to go get meat from the market that was sacrificed to an idol. This one is horrified by that. But the two of you share Christ. Share the same attitude for one another. See one another as sharing in the gospel of Christ. Build one another up. And I would call that harmony. Paul calls it harmony. Harmony. What is harmony? Sorry, this is the interactive part. What's harmony? Well, that getting along is like, you know, but what's actual harmony in music? Joanne. Different voices that sound good together. Okay, right. Different notes that match up well, correct? That's harmony, right? Different notes that match up well. So you've got harmony, which we could say is also like a diversity. There's different notes. We're all singing different notes. We all have slightly different ways that we are expressing our faith or living out our faith. Just slightly different ways. You see it in how each other expresses it. But then Paul in verse 6 says, together with one voice. So it's diversity sung together beautifully. It's harmony with one voice. It is a diversity of notes that come together and are sung together beautifully. God brings us together. And not all our voices are not going to sound the same. And the way I talk about my faith isn't going to be the same as talk about you. And you talk about your faith. And the way you're expressing it in your daily life looks different than someone else's. But that diversity, that harmony, comes together with one voice, which all shares in the fact that Jesus Christ is Savior. There is no other. He is our Savior. He is our hope. It comes together. It's a diversity sung together beautifully. I'm going to end with a few sentences from an article. And this article is making reference to Martin Luther only because it was looking at Martin Luther's sermon on this text from Romans. But I just like how it describes the Christian life empowered by God. Luther spoke of the patience and hope we practice when we bear with one another, gently teaching and guiding each other in daily life. The patience to guide and teach each other. The patience to be taught and be guided. Luther lifts up the hard, patient task of caring for each other. In faith, Christians do not enter a world suddenly made perfect to be enjoyed with other sinless saints. No sinless saints, not instant perfect. Instead, Christians are sent out into the slow work of building up faith and goodness in the imperfect people and communities around them. We are put together for this slow work of building one another up in this faith. This is a great encouragement for Christians to serve those around them with steadfast patience, addressing hard situations, difficult people, addressing our own weaknesses and needing God's wisdom and care. So you will be tempted. We will all be tempted in wanting to see quick transformations in ourselves. Oh, there's some sin. I hope it is quickly transformed and I'm no longer dealing with that. Or you want to see quick transformations in other people. But discipleship, the Advent life, the life empowered by the endurance and encouragement of God and Jesus Christ, that is a slowing down. It is a slowing down for harmony, singing all your different parts with one voice, sung together beautifully, all for the purpose of glorifying our one true God. May we slow down for harmony, to rejoice in Him. Amen.